Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I glorify you, Father. I thank you, Lord, for another great time together with this fellowship, Lord. I thank you for moving in each one of us tonight and to talk about the things that you want us to talk about, Lord. And I praise you for it, Lord. I thank you for working in us that holiness and that perfection that you want us to walk in, Lord. And we do that by faith, and you give us the faith. I thank you, Lord, for working it out in all of us, giving us that overcoming power by your Holy Spirit, Lord. Your Holy Spirit is the power we all need to overcome this fleshly life that we were born with, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for shaking all that out of us, getting the world away from us, getting ready for this time ahead. It's going to be a great time for those that are ready. And those that are hungry for the Lord, it's going to be a great time. Father, I just praise you tonight for all that you've accomplished. I thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers concerning President Trump and keeping him in safety, Lord, giving him wisdom and discernment to know who's his enemy and who's his friend. And Father, thank you for giving us a little bit of relief, naturally speaking, from the government, because you've got your man in there. As long as we pray and we keep praying for him, Lord, I believe we're going to see this thing through. And I praise you for it, Father. Bless our night tonight, Lord. Let it only be of you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for the revelations that are going to be coming forth, the questions that will be answered, and the people's lives that will be blessed because of what you're doing in each one of us, Lord, tonight. In Jesus' mighty and holy name, we love you, Lord, and we want nothing but you in our lives. We've got our eyes locked on you, Jesus, and that's all we need. Because when we lock our eyes on you, Lord, and we allow you to work in us, it works out all that other stuff. Where nothing's left is you. Nothing left is but you. That's the way you want it, Lord. You want us to work, walk, and talk like you. And I praise you, Father, for allowing your Son to come on this earth and teach us how to do this walk. Lord, when you brought him here, he had to learn just like us. But there was no sin in him. He just wanted to do what you wanted him to do. And everything you told him to do, he did, Lord. And that's the way we ought to be. Everything you tell us to do, Lord, we ought to do it. Just like your word says. Sometimes we get, our flesh gets in the way. But Father, your grace and your mercy extends way above and beyond anything that we can imagine. Because, man, I tell you what, there's some of us out here that I would have flicked off a long time ago, you know, including myself. But you've got a lot more patience and a lot more grace and a lot more love. And you can see the end from the beginning. And you're teaching us to do that as well. And I praise you, Father, for all that you do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody got any prayer requests? Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
I was talking to my son, Matt, the other day, and he told me that his one lab he has, he's 8 years old, he's a yellow lab, Lenny, that he basically has two gross, one's on his tail, one's on his hip, and the vet said it's kind of normal for labs to get them, but she kind of like did samples of them and she doesn't know what they are. So they're going to have them removed and remove them and make sure it's test them. See if it's
what lucky. Are they?
There's some kind of gross lumps or whatever, a growth or whatever. One's on his tail and one's on his hip. And he is just, if anybody has experience with labs, they're just the greatest dogs. They're just such sweet dogs. And Lenny is too. And he has another one, female, Lucy, that's a chocolate lab. But anyway, so, I know they're like his kids, you know? And, so I just want to, pray for that. I told him I'd be praying and I said, I believe that, you know, they're not going to, you know, he's going to be fine. However that looks, he's going to be fine. Anyway, Lord, we just, thank you, Lord, for, showing mercy to Matt, Lord, help him to see your goodness and knowing that his mom prayed for his dog. And I've prayed for Lenny before, Lord, when he was attacked by other dogs. He's such a sweet dog, Lord. And, so Lord, I just, ask you for a good result, out of this, Lord. And, we just, if there's any cancer there, we just command it to die in the name of Jesus. Anything negative or bad that could possibly be, Lord, we just call it null and void in the name of Jesus. And that Lenny will come out of this with flying colors, and that they will be able to close up the incision properly on his tail. That's not an easy thing to do when you got to take something off the tail. It's not much movement there, the skin and stuff. So we thank you, Lord, even for that, for doing that. And we just praise you and thank you for granting Matt and Megan repentance unto salvation in the name of Jesus, Lord. Amen. I spoke to my mom yesterday, and long story short, she told me that one Sunday when they didn't go to church, I don't know if it was because of weather or they weren't feeling good, they listened to the sermon from the pastor that day. I don't know if it was when it was they listened to it, but I'm pretty sure it was within the last 2 weeks because of an email that my mom sent. But anyway, she told me that the pastor, whatever it was he preached, was something that caused her to say to my dad, you know, I think we need to apologize to Matt and Megan. And my dad agreed. And my mom said she tried to call and they didn't answer. And I told her, well, that's normal. Matt doesn't answer my phone calls most of the time. He gets back to me whenever. So she sent an email. She sent an email, and she hasn't gotten a response. So I wanted to pray about that too. And I feel like even the Lord's telling me, Missy, you know, you prayed, and I took care of that. You didn't have to say anything. So just pray now and believe that I'm going to work in Matt and Megan's heart. And Lord, if by chance you do want me to say anything, you got to open the door wide that I know you want me to open my mouth. So, Lord, I just I thank you, Lord, for this, Lord, and I even pray, Lord, that Mom and Dad's apology was a proper apology, Lord, in your eyes, and if it wasn't, that you show them that they need to make it even more proper of an apology, Lord, and I just thank you, Lord, for this. This good news is for answering this prayer, Lord. And I just ask you, Lord, to work in Matt's heart, Lord. Remind him when his grandpa had that scare last March, Lord. Remind him of that. And that it upset him so much, Lord, that he hadn't seen his grandpa in a while. and he thought he was going to lose his grandpa. So remind him of that. Remind him that life is short, Lord, and that, Lord, show them both their need of forgiveness, Lord, so that they can forgive too, Lord. And I just praise you and thank you for answering this prayer quickly, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's a turnabout there. That's a major.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you,
Lord. All right. Anyone else? About a praise report. Anyone? Yeah, go ahead, Jim.
Sorry, I need you some advice and make a prayer about it. We got the coming election in March, but there's not really any party would make a difference. Is it? How do I go about it? How do I think about it? It's not really a big part. It's smaller ones, but it's, I'm not sure how to decide on anything like that.
Joe, your volume was way down when you started. I'm not sure I understood. Anybody understand what he was? I couldn't hardly hear it.
He talked about it, the upcoming election down there.
Oh, you're talking about in South Africa?
Yeah.
Or you mean there's an election coming up for the premier, president, or whatever they got there?
For a big election for us. I'm not sure about the top parties. Is about the same way of thinking. It's just different heads on the body. I'm not sure. My question I want is for who do I decide on who to vote for? Do I vote for anybody?
Well, that's between you and the Lord. I know that I haven't voted in, gosh, I can't remember the last time I voted. But if the Lord wants you to vote, vote. And he'll tell you who to vote for. You can ask him, but for the most part, you know, we just pray that God put the one he wants in there. I don't know, Joe, much about South Africa's Christian family. Is there much praying going on there, or do you know, or, you know, I'm not familiar with what's going on there now.
I'm not sure if it's a revival of anything, any sort. It's, we used to be a Christian nation, but I don't think anymore we're a Christian nation. It's not the politics, not the way people live. That's, I voted about, say, I think about 15 or 10 years, you know, about 10 years ago, I voted last. But I was just asking, how do you, or some advice on, do I really go after voting or not, just leave it like it?
Well, best thing to do is to pray.
Yeah.
Best thing to do is to pray. And, I don't know anything about the politics of it. I'll try to look it up tomorrow. And
figure out which one we need to be praying for. Is there any kind of a candidate out there that's running that has any feelings toward Christianity or has any leanings toward that?
No, I don't think it's a small party. We call it African Christian Democratic Party, but a very, very small. It's not really anything that's good by it.
Yeah.
It's all about the same thinking.
Is that the one you want in there?
Nah, I'm not sure what really stands, if it's really a Christian party. That's why I say I'm just way of thinking. I might say it's Christian, but it's they got a coalition of other parties, and it's just to get into politics. No, it's not good to anybody else.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll try to look it up tonight. Somebody know anything about it? Go ahead, Joe.
Joe. For your information, I don't know how much you followed our last election, but they said that our president didn't have a chance of a snowball of winning the presidency, and people started praying, and we got the leader that we needed. Against him.
Yep. Here's the way it went. You see that graph? You see that graph? There's Hillary. She was at the top at first, and then the people started praying, and then she started going down. And at the same time, Trump started going up. And after it was through, it looked like an hourglass. The whole graph did, you know, and it stayed that way. That's what happens when you pray. So we figure out which one you want in there, we'll pray and figure it out. Pat, did you have something over there?
Joe, when is your election?
I think it's in end of March. Okay. Sorry, May. It's just the beginning of May. Sorry, it's the beginning of May.
May? Okay. That's a good enough time for us to be praying. You figure out which one we're supposed to be praying for, and we'll pray for them.
All right. Thank you.
Do you have something, Missy?
Yeah. I don't know if it was earlier today or yesterday. Merle showed me. He told me, Trump's press secretary is Sarah Sanders, you know? Well, she made a statement the other day during a press conference, and I forget how she said it, but the gist of it was this. She said that God wanted Trump to be president. She said that during a press conference. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I said, either she got a bunch of boos or she got dumbfounded silence.
What one was it?
I don't know. He just seen a statement, you know, which I thought that was cool that she came right out and said that. I was like, wow, you go, girl.
Well, you know, Mike Huckabee was a Baptist preacher at one time over in Little Rock.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, prayer can change anything. Prayer can put me up there. That's the president. You don't want that. You don't want that. Oh, I don't want it. Praise God. All right. Anybody
else? Hey, Michael.
Yeah, George, go ahead, bud.
Just as a word of encouragement to Joe B there, I've got family down in Brazil, and it looked like they were swinging hard communists for the last few years, and they've got a reprieve kind of like what we've got, and they really got hope in their leader right now to push back against the way things were going down there. They really are experiencing a little bit of I don't know if it's Freedom Revival or whatever you want to call it, but it's definitely a lift from the oppression. They still got some issues, but Brazil was headed hard and fast in the wrong direction, and it looks like they're getting a little breather. So maybe a lot of these countries are going to get something like that for freedom to migrate or for freedom to turn it around or something good. And like you said, we'll be praying for sure.
Yeah, that Bolsonaro, I think is something like it. He's purging the government of all the socialists, he said. He's going to get rid of all of them. Just like George is trying to do, Trump is trying to do up there in Washington. But Trump's got a lot more in there than what Brazil's got. They are full of them. Man, there's hundreds of thousands of them government workers up there that's a Hillary and Obama Nights. But anyway, yeah, Brazil really looks good. We've got a man here that's married to a Brazilian lady, and we get all kinds of good information from her. Very sweet lady from down there. Yeah. Pat put that link up there where Sarah Sanders said that. Thank you, Pat. All right, anybody else? Go ahead, Missy.
If nobody else has a prayer request or anything like that, I just got an email for Byron Searle's latest post, and I wanted to know if I could read it.
Well, you know, I'm not much of a Byron Searle's fan. He's very negative. He's very critical of Trump and very critical of what's going on right now. If it's something good, yeah, but if it's something criticizing Trump and the people who support him, I don't care anything about him.
it's not anything concerning Trump.
Political?
Mm-mm, no, it's nothing political.
Okay.
It has a main title and then a subtitle. And it's like, it seems like he has a series here that's called I Am Coming, Get Ready. But then he titles this one, I Am Coming. And it seems like he had other ones named specifically, I'm Coming. But anyway, Psalm 18, 1 to 2 is the verse that he gives first. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. And this is the transcript. My son, hear the words I speak to you and understand the nearness of my coming. In a short while, I will write my words on the hearts of those that love and follow me. I will give them strength and fortitude to stand in that day. I am coming soon, and many, many will not be ready for me. I visit all my children, yet they do not know it is I. My son, the season that I have spoken of in my word is now upon this earth. Men's hearts have grown cold and hard, and all around is violence. I am coming to stop the violence and hate and bring my body home with me. Many of men's hearts will fail them when they see the tears that are upon them. Much bloodshed and slaughter are now at the door, and my people are deciding what gender they are. I spoke of a time when the generation of the end will be more concerned with themselves than to open their eyes and see the enemies that surround them. My son, I am coming to set my lukewarm church on fire. But to do that, I must remove the ice cubes that preached a cold. I must move the ice cubes that preached a cold sermon, not out of my word. I will set my church on fire the same time I set the land on fire. My Holy Spirit will flow like living water over all the land, opening the eyes of those who have been asleep. Get ready, for the day of fire is near. Nay, it is here. I will move those who have not my spirit out of the way, and those who have ears will hear my clarion call to holiness and righteousness and will come alive and not be asleep. My son, I am coming to gather my remnant bride to me, and we shall walk the land, and we shall walk the land, reaching the lost for a short time. It will then be time of the evil one to have his day. I am coming. If you are not ready, it is almost too late. Get your house in order. Seek me with all you have. Pray constantly to be found worthy to escape all that is coming. I love you. I am coming. Amen. Messiah Jesus.
Amen. He's kind of pre-trib too, I think. They don't understand that part of it. But he's right in the sense that God is coming in his man-child ministry and the bride. And yes, we need to get right. We need to be right in order to get through the tribulation. And all of that is right. We just have to kind of throw out his... That's what happens when prophets get a word from God. They put their little theology in there on it. And you got to just be careful with it and understand that that's what they're doing. What's that girl's name? Mina Graba?
Mina Lee Grevin? And... Glenda Lomax?
Yeah. No, well, her too.
Yeah.
Glenda Lomax and that young girl.
Yeah, they both have that.
Mentally Graven, yeah. Mm-hmm. She gets these words from God, and it messes with the tribulation doctrine. She said, Lord, we're going to be out of here by then, you know. And the Lord just keeps on. He just sits up there and grins. You know, we're supposed to be the ones that figure out what's going on through reading and studying the Word of God. And a lot of times these prophets and prophetesses, they get a word and it just messes them up. They don't understand. And they give it and they you know, I don't understand why he gave us it, but I'm going to give it anyway. And I mean, it's pretty obvious they've gotten tripped up in their theology. But anyway, praise God for that. But that's right. We have to be ready. We have to be getting ready, perfecting ourselves in holiness and sanctification of Christ in us. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Missy. Mm-hmm. I believe it was a text from Joe a few days ago when we talked Tuesday night a little bit about Jesus and his perfection and his maturation process. He had some questions about that, and I thought maybe if we could kind of expound on that a little bit tonight, on how we are to be perfected like Jesus was. The way Jesus was perfected, look, he did no sin at all. When the Lord told him to do something, he did it. He obeyed right then. There was no flesh getting in the way or anything like that. He obeyed all the way through. When the Lord told him to do something, he'd learn it, he'd do it, he'd walk it out. And that's what God wants us to do. Jesus gave us an example. He gave us a roadmap in the Gospels and in the epistles of how to walk in his steps. And what we have to do is just surrender ourselves, just like Jesus did, to do that. Flesh has got to go, you know. The world has to go. I know that we've been brought up. We were born in flesh, you know. We taught flesh the whole time. You know, if you came from my family, you were taught to pull yourself up by your bootstrap, get out there and work hard and make a living and da-da-da-da-da. And not depend on somebody else. And I taught my girls to do the same thing. Don't be dependent on anybody else. Get out there and work hard and make a living and do it yourself, because that's the way I was taught. And then when we come to Christ, we find out that's just the opposite of what God wants us to do. He wants us to be dependent upon Him. Absolute surrender. Dependent upon Him. And the only way that we're going to make it is to do exactly that. Well, how do we do that? Well, it's all by faith. We call those things that are not as though they were. We look at the end instead of the beginning. We look in the mirror. All of those verses that we know that God has given David to and put them in order for us to understand what the Word of God tells us, you know. That's what He wants. And that's kind of a short summary of how to walk that holy walk. And it's just to obey. It's better than sacrifice, he said. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Well, I'm sacrificing my flesh. Well, that's what he likes. He likes to hear that flesh burn. He loves to smell that flesh burn. And that's what all the Old Testament is about, when they're sacrificing the bulls and the goats and all that stuff. He wanted to smell that flesh burning. Well, he wants to smell our flesh burning too. And we do that when we lay down our life and we start living the life of Jesus. We start serving mankind rather than self. That's what Jesus did. He laid down his life and served mankind. He didn't think about himself in any kind of way. He didn't exalt himself at all. He laid his life down for us, and we're to lay ourself down for people, for the people that we're around. It's when we resort back to the old flesh that we get in trouble. And, you know, the great thing about it is, Joe, I'm going to say this. I don't think that you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, are you, Joe? Are you? Okay. I'm sorry. I can't hear you.
No, yeah. I don't know if you remember last year. Yeah, you did pray for me.
Okay. Yep. Okay. All right. Well, that's your overcoming power right there. That's that dynamis power that God gives you to overcome that flesh and overcome the world. And all we have to do is just, look, speak in tongues all the time. Pray in tongues all the time. I do. I pray in tongues a lot. And sometimes too loud, and David said, boy, you were really getting after it up there, weren't you? I said, yeah. Are you listening? He said, yeah, well, you should have been praying too. But anyway, that's primarily the short version of it. And we can talk about that tonight if y'all want to talk about perfection. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
I'm glad you mentioned the tongues there, but you know, we're probably going to see a lot of stuff in the future that we don't want to really see or hear. And, you know, in the Good Commission that we're supposed to have at the end of Mark in chapter 16, it's sort of, you know, you can see things. You know, if you watch a movie or something, and it's entertainment, But we're starting to see that kind of stuff for real in the news and stuff. And we just had a murder in right here in Ottawa in the mall I go to. One of the police officers had to take someone out because he was carrying a knife in the mall. I don't know what happened. It came even home from work and it's still taped off where this happened. And so you know, you might actually be in a spot where you don't want to actually see something like that. I sometimes pray against that. I get on the bus in the morning and pray, Lord, get me to work safely and take all these people with me, you know, to be safe. And there are some other things here. You know, it says, speak with tongues, and in their hands they shall take up serpents, and if they drink anything odd deadly, it shall in no wise hurt them. So this drink here, I think is a word that's coming at you, you know, that might even tempt you in your mind. It's not going to hurt you. And sometimes you can drink of actions, you know, a person, you know, they're going to make you angry or something. And you just, this is the Holy Spirit also, just like tongues is. This is the Holy Spirit that's going to prevent you from acting negatively against this action or this word that's coming against you. And taking up serpents, that's self-explanatory. And he's not talking about snake hunting or drinking turpentine. You know, we're spirit-filled people. We know that this is talking about a different word that's coming against you. Too many people are going into the devil's wine store and drinking slander, but the number one bottle that's being, they can't produce enough of it is the hate that's in this world now. And it's in that bad wine category. You know, you can go into that wine store and see what they got on the shelf, but don't buy any. Go in the store on the right hand side and find the love, the joy, the peace, the long suffering, the goodness, the gentleness, the faith, the meekness, and the temperance, which is self-control. And so that's the wine you want to drink. And that's the stuff you want to hear. And that's why we're in this fellowship, so that we can hear this stuff. And I don't know about you, but when I was listening on Wednesday, I needed that so much. Both of them, the double barrel there, you know, came with two swords there on both sides for both ears, Michael Hare and David Eales. It was an encouraging night. Oh, it was wonderful, you know, for me all through it, you know. And I'm going to listen to that whenever I'm feeling down in the dumps, because there's a lot of word there and there's a lot of encouragement. Encouragement is really what you want to hear from nowadays because of everything that's going on. And I speak to you here as a person that the only kind of fellowship I ever have is anything that's of any virtue or any goodness is here. I don't really have a person here in Ottawa that would think the same way I do. But, you know, I do pray for those people who are into the likeness of recreated, born again, regenerated. They all mean the same thing, but they need a good awakening from the Lord to get out of the letter doctrines and letter prophecies they're in and find the truth. Because that's kind of like that word there that you're not supposed to have, you know, that's in this verse here. So someone was partaking of this verse so that we can receive this and have this ministry that is God's ministry here, Unleavened Bread. And it's just amazing. This one-liner here on the drink and the serpent, and it's not going to harm you. That's for us, as well as tongues, as well as healing, lay hands on the sick, and as well as deliverance. You might even say you can see the deliverance in that verse there on the things you're going to be delivered of, so that you could, if you drink anything odd, it's not going to harm you. It's not that you're going out and trying to force yourself to get into a confrontation with someone and then surviving it. It's a wonderful sovereignty that God has. It should be a really relaxing thing that you go through every day. Even in your battle, you know, if God could put it in your mind to thank him in the midst of a temptation battle, then you know it's from the Lord. He's sovereign over all things. And you know, if you can think of something he's not sovereign over, he's sovereign over that too. Anyway, he's sovereign over all things. And don't forget, in your weakness, he's going to be your strength. And that's a nice thing. I got something off of YouTube here that it's not a song or anything. It's just a bunch of pictures and a little bit of melody, nice music on and the subtitles. That's all it is. And it actually sort of settles you, because it's very timid music. And it's called 2016 God's Holy Angels Assigned to You, Watching Over You. And I think it's those Jewish people who are turning to Christ that put it out. I'm not sure. And it's just got subtitles and kind of like electronic piano music in the background. And you know, it makes you think. The pictures really go with the subtitles, and it really makes you think about God the Father and how he takes care of things.
What's the name of it?
Well, it 2016, God's Holy Angels Assigned to, just the letter U, Watching Over You. And you'll see it right there on YouTube. It's probably going to be the first one that shows up. And it's just pictures and subtitles and music that's very sort of calms you down.
God's holy angels, what?
Assigned to you, just the one letter, not the whole word, watching over you. And you have to give it a while, because the beginning part doesn't sometimes make as much sense. You have to maybe watch it twice. It's about three or four minutes. So.
Oh, yeah.
And it's pretty good, actually. Just put it on very low level. You can really read your Bible to that kind of tone of music, I find, for me anyway. I was doing that today. And there's some really, really, like, I'm not trying to get off a topic here, but 2 Corinthians chapter 6 there, is there's a lot of stuff that he talks about there, and there's a list of them. For your salvation, your day is salvation, you know. And this is talking about every single portion of your fruit of Christ that you will attain. And it just lists a lot of things in there. The whole chapter is filled with a whole bunch of things. And it's just so lovely. Really helpful. Someone's listening to
us. Is that it?
No, no, it's got pictures of people in it.
Oh. Okay.
Andrew, can you type in the into the chat room the information that you were saying? Can you do that?
I'll try.
Anyway.
So all you do is go into YouTube and it would give you that. Like, try to avoid what you see there on the YouTube and just, did you get it? Can anyone hear me?
Yeah, I was muted. I was sitting here talking to you, but I couldn't, no, you couldn't hear me. Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah, I don't know if that's it or not. Is that it, Joe? You don't know?
I just posted it, so yeah. You said there's photos there, Andrew?
Photos and just pictures. Yeah, I downloaded it, but it's...
Well, anyway, go ahead, Missy.
Well, talking, you know, Andrew saying about, you know, encouraging stuff and, you know, talking about overcoming the flesh and, you know, you mentioned, Michael, absolute surrender. There's a piece here in, I've been chewing on this chapter. It's not a very long chapter for a couple of days, but it's really good. But the title of it is Obedience and the Victorious Life. And there's just this one piece out of this that I'd like to read because I think it's encouraging to all of us. And especially, you know, you said you were sharing with Joe. So there's kind of like a little subtitle here. And it says, a new faith in the power that will make it possible for you to persevere in your surrender. Christ is prepared to take upon himself the care and preservation of our lives every day, all the day long, if we trust him to do it. In the testimony given by many, this thought is emphasized. They have told us that they felt themselves called to a new surrender, to an entire consecration of life to Christ, reaching to the smallest things, but they were hindered by the fear of failure. The thirst after holiness, after an unbroken fellowship with Jesus, after a life of persevering childlike obedience, drew them one way. But the question arose, will I continue to be faithful? And to this question, there came no answer until they believed that the surrender must be made not in their own strength, but in the power that was bestowed by a glorified Lord. He would not only keep them for the future, but he must first make possible for them the surrender of faith that expects that future grace. It was in the power of Christ himself that they were able to present themselves to him. Oh, Christian, only believe that there is a victorious life. Christ, the victor, is your Lord, who will undertake for you in everything and will be and will enable you to do all that the Father expects from you. Be of good courage. Will you not trust him to do this great work for you? He who has given his life for you and has forgiven your sins, only dare in his power to surrender yourself to the life of those who are kept from sin by the power of God, along with the deepest conviction that there is no good in you. Confess that you see in the Lord Jesus all the goodness you need for the life of a child of God, and begin literally to live by the faith of the Son of God who loved you and gave himself up for you. Wow. What an encouraging word. Thank you, Lord.
I'm still muted. Sorry about that.
Who yep. was that? Was that Andrew Murray?
Yeah.
In what book is that?
The book called The Prayer Life, and I was reading out of chapter 8. It's really good.
Amen. I think I found it. Nope. Yeah. Okay, anyway, I'm gonna quit looking. All right. Yeah, Pat, go ahead, brother.
I was reading in the Psalms the other night, and it hit me. I ended up on Psalm 59 and was reading through that, and it seemed I don't know if this is theologically correct, maybe out in left field, but I'll throw it out and expect anybody input from anybody to make any correction here, but I'll just throw out what I was thinking when it hit me when I was reading that psalm. Number one, that was a psalm that President Trump, if he was aware of what we are aware of as far as the timing that we're in these days, and the purpose that God has got us here for, the plan of God, and the whole concept. I'm speaking as though he isn't aware of that. I may be totally incorrect, but if he was aware of God in that way and where we are at in this day and age, this Psalm 59 was a prayer that I believe he would be praying to the Lord because of the particular political environment that he is in right now. And the thing that hit me, and this is kind of what I'd maybe like some input on, because I don't know if it's incorrect. I don't know if it's another facet of intercession or what. So I'll just throw it out to you, and that is, when I was reading this psalm, I was kind of thinking that President Trump is not in the position of awareness to pray this. And so my thought was to pray it for him. In other words, to pray it. The thought I was getting was not pray it for him or pray for President Trump, but actually make that prayer for him. Now, that sounds like it's way out in left field. So I'm going to leave it out in left field and let anybody hear if anybody has any thoughts about that.
When you say pray it for him or pray it, use this for him, what are you talking about?
That's
what are you talking about, utilizing his name in here?
President Trump's name?
As him praying it in the first person for himself?
Yes.
Absolutely, that's scriptural. I do it all the time. I do it all the time. I pray scriptures for myself. A prime example is Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3. I pray those for myself and the people around me and the people that I know needs it. Do the Psalms too. Absolutely you can. Yes, sir.
Well, I'd like to just read this psalm and
yes, sir,
as a prayer for President Trump, that he would make that prayer if he was spiritually aware of the ability to do so. And
are you aware of a Bible study that goes on in the White House weekly?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know if you were or not. Now, Denny knows more about it than I do, but that's something. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew. You might know more something about that.
Well, I know that if a person cries out to the Lord, that the Lord will hear that. Like, you can get an average unsaved person who would cry out to the Lord. Like, this is a cry from his spirit, well, from his soul, anyway. And the Lord hears that. And you know, if someone actually... If he orchestrates it before to maybe have someone mention that, he'll answer the person who cries out to him, any person, you know, and then it actually happens, you know, that he maybe the night or a couple of days later, he cries out to the Lord and then he remembers someone who mentioned that to him, you know, cry out to the Lord. He'll answer your prayer, you know, and it could happen that way. Because I'm under the thought that when you ask God for something, he's already known, because he put that thought in your mind to ask for that. So he's already put that in to you before you even asked him for it. So he's kind of choreographing it all, you know. He's going to say, okay, I know it doesn't really make sense, but he's saying, okay, Pat, you're going to be praying for someone on February 16th, and this is going to be your prayer. And you don't know what it is, but you're going to be doing that. And it's going to set up a chain of events. And it's going to happen. That's all. You know, it's just, that's the way it works. If it's you just mentioning to someone one little verse, like, oh, you can cry out to the Lord and he'll answer your prayer. And then a time of trouble comes to that person, and then he remembers what you told him, but that's not your word. It's the Lord's word, and he'll do that, and it'll work for him. So, you know, you might say all of three or four words to him, cry out to the Lord, and he'll answer your prayer, and it'll all go. And even this conference call got started by the Lord. And even, you know, sometimes when some people have trouble with their computers, how do you not know that the Lord has just choreographed that, because he is choreographing everything. He's sovereign over all things, so that you can say, hey, we got to pray. And sometimes, you know, for some people, it just pops into their head really quick. We're going to pray. And it's going to happen. You know, it's all the best I can say, if you want the scriptural values, where Jesus emptied himself there. And why not? Because it's already being choreographed. He's sovereign over all things. And that's the point I'm trying to get to myself. You know, like, I'm not saying I understand this, but if he's almighty and sovereign over all of this, then everything, every day, every discussion that's come about, and everything that's come out of your mouth, even some of the places where you were tempted and failed, but then you still went back to the Lord in accordance to 1 John 1:9, where you confess your sins and he cleanses you and he forgives you and cleanses you of your sin. All of it is choreographed by him. He's waiting for that obedience to happen, because whatever he gives you, you give back to him. So that's a verse somewhere. I can't remember where it is, but if that's the way it's working, you know, I don't know if you ever watched any sci-fis, but they talk about traveling through time. And, well, you just look at it that God's already got everything planned for your life right to the end. And that this is why you never want to do what it says there in the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 47, thrust the word of God away from you, because that's your eternal life. And it, he's got your eternal life, your eternal love, your eternal glory. You're going to shine with a glory, whether it be the smallest star, the biggest star, moon, I don't know, a quarter moon, half moon, three quarters, full moon, or the sun glory. So he's got your shining all set out there. And I don't know if that put it in a way of understanding it. And I don't know if I'm talking too much, but everything he gives you, you give it back to him. And it's an obedient, agape love. It's love, agape stuff. You know, it's that coming into agreement with him, obeying him unconditionally. Why? Because he's the power of God that said it was going to happen, the same way he opened the universe with his mouth and made it happen. And that's the power of God. That's the Almighty. And that's what I want, this encouraging flow to come from God. And it's coming out of everyone's lips here. And it was coming out on Wednesday. It came out so good on Wednesday, I got to listen to it again. You know, so praise God. I hope there was a little thing that clicked there, because that's the way I describe it in my mind. There's a little thing there in my mind that clicked, and in my heart there, about how he's sovereign over everything. He choreographs it, you know. I don't know if choreographing is the proper word. That's what, you know, they do for people who dance on stage, or, you know, they have the ballet in there. No, you're doing it wrong. You spin the other way or whatever, you know. And he's the manager of all managers. And those words that Jesus speak for us 24/7 is what the Lord wants for us. And what he gives to us, we return to him. That's why love never fails. Anyway.
Well, I remember the time, and when I say this, Pat, you can recite that song. If you remember that time that David needed that $50, and he pointed to the mailbox, you remember that? He said there's $50 in that mailbox. He had to have it to pay for the bill for that washing machine he had sent off the day before to get fixed at the college. And it came back and I got it fixed. It was going to be $50. He didn't have a nickel. And he pointed to the mailbox. There's $50 in that mailbox. And they walked over and there's $50 in it. And it had been in the mail for 6 months, had lost in the mail for 6 months.
Wow.
God don't deal in time. He don't deal in time, but he does, just like Andrew says, he knows when you're going to need this stuff. Okay, Pat, go ahead, brother.
Let me go back to that. Let me give you an example. Well, it just says, this was a, and the reason this hit me was that says MCDM. I'm in the ASV. Let me get over in that. I want to read this out of the New American Standard, if I can. Said a MCDM of David. I don't know what it MCDM is, but anyway, it says when Saul sent men. And they watched the house in order to kill him. And when I read that, I thought, that's President Trump right there. And then it says, deliver me from my enemies, O God. Set me securely on high from those that rise up against me. And this is when I started to, and this was the thought that I was having there. Is can I pray this for President Trump for him because he's not able at this time to pray it for himself? In other words, I guess the thought would be praying it as though I was Trump receiving it for me, but it was meant for him or is meant for him. So that's the frame of mind that I was thinking. Whether that's right or whether that's wrong, I don't know. But I prayed it that way anyway. And I'll take a chance.
Yeah, no, you can do that. You put his name in there, deliver President Trump from mine. From his enemies? Is that the way you did it in the third person?
No, not quite.
Okay.
It was as though I was knowing that President Trump can't pray this for himself, I'm going to pray this for himself. Maybe what you're saying is the same thing, Michael. I don't know. But it was as though I was receiving that prayer. I was praying it for myself, but I was praying it for President Trump, and I was taking the place of President Trump to pray it for him so he could pray it for himself, even though it was me praying it. It was me offering up that prayer. I was offering it up for President Trump in his stead. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you were standing in for him. You were standing instead for him, right?
That's the word I was thinking of. Yes.
Okay.
And that was kind of the mindset. But when I just continuing on, he says, deliver me from those who do iniquity and save me from men of bloodshed. For behold, they have set an ambush for my life. Fierce men launch an attack against me. not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Lord. For no guilt of mine, they ran and set themselves against me. Arouse yourself to help me and see. You, O Lord, God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to punish all the nations. Do not be gracious to any who are treacherous in iniquity. Selah. They return at evening. They howl like a dog. They go around the city. Behold, they belch forth with their mouth. Swords are in their lips, for they say, who hears? But you, O Lord, laugh at them. You scoff at all the nations. Because of his strength, I will watch for you, for God is my stronghold. My God, in his loving kindness, will meet me. God will let me look triumphantly upon my foes. And this next verse kind of hit me. He said, do not slay them, or my people will forget. Scatter them by your power and bring them down, O Lord, our shield. And when I read that, it seemed as though the Lord was saying, do not slay these wicked people right now. Don't slay them, or we will forget. We will not be motivated to continue with the Lord, to continue the advance. The Lord is motivating us through these circumstances to a certain degree, well, to a large degree, I would say. But if they were to be, God would slay them and make them disappear. He's saying, this is his prayer, do not slay them, or my people will forget. Scatter them by your power. And so when I saw that, I started praying. I don't know if I started changing a prayer, but my prayer against this deep state, but I have been praying for confusion for them. And this word scatter was to me just kind of hit me as a very important point there that the Lord is making, and that is to scatter and diffuse their power. Because if they are without power, if they are shattered in their ability to exercise power, then they are disabled. They are nothing less, they are a shell of an image, but they do not have the power. They're not able to exercise that power in their particular realm of expertise or whatever. And I'm thinking of people in Congress right now. So, and that's kind of where I left it, is that just, Lord, would you scatter the power of those people? And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Go ahead, Tim.
That's a really good psalm for President Trump to, you know, pray for him and stuff. But as we were reading it, I was kind of looking at the enemy as a corporate body, and then at the same time I was seeing wherever the word "me" is, we could look at that as a body of Christ. You know, the two diametric. Us as a group, part of the body, even though he may not know it or may not be a very big part right now, I think he's coming in. And so if we pray it, you know, as a corporate body for the me part, and then the enemies as they, it makes a lot of sense. And I think there's some power in that. So.
Amen. Go ahead, Leon. Leon, I can't hear you. Cannot hear you. Yeah. Take it real slow. I'll see if I can read your lips. I got to get this chocolate out of my mouth first, though. Okay. I can't hear you. You was using something the other night that you used that was working. I think it was a headphone set. I can't hear you. Y'all can't hear you. Let me see if I can read your mouth. I said that's all right. Okay. Who else? Anybody else got something they'd like to? You didn't read that whole thing, Pat. Did you want to read the whole thing?
Sure. I got hung up on verse 11 there.
Yes, you did. That's a good one.
Verse 12. On the account of the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be caught in their pride, and on the account of curses and lies which they utter. Destroy them in wrath. Destroy them that they may be no more, that men may know that God rules in Jacob to the ends of the earth. Selah. They return at evening. They howl like a dog. They go around the city. They wander about for food and growl if they are not satisfied. But as for me, I shall sing of your strength. Yes, I will joyfully sing of your loving kindness in the morning. For you have been my stronghold and my refuge in the day of distress. O my strength, I will sing praises to you. For God is my stronghold, the God who shows me loving kindness. Amen.
Amen. That's a good one. That's a good one. Of course, we can pray that for him. I always like to do it in the third person, you know. Deliver Trump from his enemies. Oh, my God. Set him on high from them that rise up against him. Deliver him from the workers of iniquity and save him from the bloodthirsty men. For lo, they lie in wait for his soul. The mighty gather themselves together against him, not for his transgression nor for his sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves without his fault. Awake thou to help him, and behold, even you, O Lord, God of hosts, the God of Israel, arise to visit all the nations. Be not merciful to any wicked transgressors. They return at evening, they howl like a dog, and go around about the city. Behold, they belch out with their mouth, swords are in their lips, for who, say they, doth hear? But you, O Lord, would laugh at them. They will have all the nations in derision. And because of his strength, Trump's going to give heed unto you. For God is his high tower. His God with his loving kindness will meet him. And God, let him see your desire upon his enemies. Slay them not, lest my people forget. In other words, leave them there. Let them shake them up a little bit. scatter them by your power and bring them down, O Lord, our shield, for the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips. Let them even be taken in their pride and for cursing and lying, which they speak. Consume them in wrath. Consume them so that they shall be no more. And let them know that God rules in Jacob unto the ends of the earth. And at evening, let them return. Let them howl like a dog and go round about the city. They shall wander up and down for food and tarry all night if they be not satisfied. But he's going to sing of your strength. Yea, he's going to sing aloud of your loving kindness in the morning. For you has been his high tower and a refuge in the day of his distress. Unto you, O my strength, will I sing praises. For God is his high tower, the God of his mercy. Praise God. Lord, we thank you for doing that for President Trump. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to send your angels around about him too. You know, when you pray the scriptures, that's a mighty powerful prayer. Mighty powerful. Go ahead, Andrew.
Seems like number 8 there is kind of like how it is today too. All the nations are in derision. The heathen in derision. That's the way it says it in the King James here. And of course, again, God being sovereign over the things that are happening, so that people, like at my workplace, the people are saying, boy, is the world ever bad. You know, and these are not saved people. You know, and they just know something's wrong. They just don't know what they need. You know, I try to witness to them, but they just, I don't know if it's because of my circumstances or because, you know, I'm a divorced person, but I'm not going to look into that, you know. They might prejudge me because of their religion or whatever, but I'm not going to look at that. I just have to say the word. I have to behave that behavior, a good smile or whatever, you know. Anything, any little thing, I think, would help, you know, because sometimes you're really amongst some people that are really critical, you know, and everything is a judgment that comes out of their mouth. And if you continue with the Lord, you might have that person soften just a little bit, and you'll just see just a little bit of a change in him or her, and at least there's something. I mean, it might not lead to his salvation, but, you know, these critical people have to have something given to them, you know. You have some of these people in the Bible, you know, in the Old Testament, you know, like King Nebuchadnezzar, you know, he was not a Hebrew. He was not a Jew. These people that just are so obstinate and you can't do anything, but God has them there for you. And I think that's where we have to sometimes hold ourselves to that, to be, I guess, diligent is the word, to know that this vessel was put in your life for you, even if it's a huge person that just turns your stomach each time. But, you know, even, I don't know, getting him a coffee, right, if he's a workmate, or a bag of chips from the vending machine might just break the ice. Oh yeah. Or it might not, you know. Oh, I'm not taking that from you. I can get my own, you know. But but whatever it is, you know, or let me get this round of coffee, you can get the next, you know. Because they will remember the smallest of things, people. You know, that's the way they work. The people who are worldly, you know, you got to shine in any little way, even if it's in the smallest way, I think, that's going to make a difference. But from what we know of this new age that's coming, the iron, the stronger iron than there is now, and you can see it all over the world, that we're at the beginnings of it, you know, that there's political unrest in many countries, in the EU, in America, in Canada, in South Africa, you know, and it's affecting these people who were already very critical. You know, they turn your stomach. It's even magnifying more in them because they're around this more, you know, so you get a lot more happening to society, you know. I can remember a day when I was young that there was someone murdered in Canada. Everyone from coast to coast would be talking about it, be all over the news. And even like, I remember there was one in when I was just a child, and even the children were talking about it. And, you know, it's not too often children talk about stuff like that because, you know, they're just kids, you know, under 12 years of age. And you know, they usually say, well, that's a real sad thing. You're a little bit frightened and stuff, you know. And well, it's just a natural cause now. It's all over the news everywhere. And anyway, that's why we need encouragement. just anything, you know. Sometimes, you know, I got this really stoic, stern face, you know, it's just, I got to go dance or do something and play some music, worship God. If you ever get that tense feeling, you know, sometimes I got to come home from work and just put the music on just to settle for a while. And then, you know, I go, man, I would sure look forward to retirement. I'd never have to go out there. But then where would all my lessons be, you know? And anyway.
Well, that's right. Okay, yeah, Pat, go ahead.
I was, when you were talking about that, Andrew, I had another experience with one of I'm over temporarily working on another project with another superintendent. I think I brought that up in another meeting or something before, but and this other superintendent was, I don't know if it was threatened or whatever, but he had a very harsh, angry type of attitude toward me or whatever. And I rebuked the spirit, cast it down, whatever spirit that was motivating that, motivating him, and just continue to pray for him. But I didn't notice, and then I kind of forgot about it after that. And then I had to, we had an issue with a detail that was on the building that we're constructing. It was a window. It was a detail for putting together a window and all the brick finishes and the drive it finishes and all this stuff that go together onto that window. And he had asked me to look at that detail to try to clarify it for the contractors, because they didn't know how they were going to actually do it, how it was going to be done. And after I started studying the detail, I realized that the reason they can't figure out how to do it is because the architect didn't know what he was doing when he drew the detail. So we had a little bit of a problem there that we had to, because the architect, you have to understand the way some architects function is that they are so used to learning things in class, and so they tend to create a detail. They'll just draw a line for that detail, and you know, this goes over here and this goes here. But in the real world, you can't a line just won't go over to a brick and work. You have to have some way of attaching it to that brick so that that piece of metal or whatever that they're depicting in that detail will actually attach to something. It just can't float out there in the air. And so these and so I realize that I have to get the answers or the approval or the established detail from the architect. But the first problem is you have to show the architect why his detail won't work. And that's a kind of a tricky phenomenon. Anyway, I made a long story out of that. So I worked through the process, figured out what would work, how you could actually do it, and then got the contractor to bend up some metal and whatever to create this detail. And then the next meeting, the owner's meeting that we had, I took this architect out and explained to him what had to happen by, you know, pulling the pieces apart that we had just built and put together on that mock-up panel is what it was. And you could tell when I was explaining why these details wouldn't work and what we'd have to make them work, that that he was learning something. The architect didn't understand why his own detail wouldn't work. Well, so as I was in the process of doing that, I was watching this other superintendent, and it, like, there was like three or four other people, the project manager, everybody came over to kind of watch this little demonstration. And I don't know what happened after that, but his whole attitude at that point seemed to change. I'm speaking about the superintendent. And I don't know what it was, and I can't explain it, but the only thing I can say is God must have done something with that process, but it changed his whole attitude. And when you were talking about our environment now as being an environment of iron, it's going to get a lot harsher and everything, I thought of that, that in the book of Daniel, where, you know, where he said, he was explaining, Daniel is explaining to Nebuchadnezzar, who you mentioned, his dream. And he said the head of that statue was made of fine gold, its breast and its arms of silver, its belly and its thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, and its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You continued looking until a stone was cut out without hands, and it struck the statue on its feet, of iron and clay and crush them. And it just hit me. I mean, that's what God is doing. He's training us. He's creating. He's making a temple without hands, simply by his word, by believing and walking in his word, walking in his truth. He is making a temple that is made without hands. And it's that very temple that's going to, even though the appearance of this iron seems strong, and that it will even get stronger in these days to come, it's still only partly iron and partly clay. And it only takes one strategic truth to destroy a mountain of lies, because every mountain and authority structure of lies is all based upon one lie at the bottom, one major foundational lie, and all the rest are simply cover-ups or whatever to try to keep that lie or that deception going. And I was thinking about Nebuchadnezzar when you mentioned that Nebuchadnezzar, obviously in the book of Daniel, doesn't show you or give you any indication of the viciousness of that society at that time. But I mean, these guys wouldn't think twice about slitting your throat and tossing you out in a garbage can, you know, if you looked wrong at them or whatever. It's very vicious society and environment. But even Daniel in those times, God was working on Nebuchadnezzar, and he gave him dreams, a dream. He did certain things in his life that brought Daniel to the forefront. And I remember reading, there's like, I would have to go back and, you know, look them all up. But if you look at the result of every dream, or the dream that he had, and what he said after that, after Daniel interpreted that dream, and he said, he made a decree or something. One decree was, anybody who speaks amiss of Daniel's God is the real God or whatever. And then the next time it was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said, anybody after they came through the fire and they came out, Nebuchadnezzar was so astounded. He said, anybody who speaks amiss of this God of Shadrach and Abednego, he'll be cursed and, you know, tossed in the gutter or whatever. Obviously, it's a massive paraphrase of what he was saying. And the next thing was the dream that he had of the tree that got cut down. And that one was the one where at the end of that time where God put him out in the wilderness and he devoured grass like an animal, and then he was restored. It was at that time that he proclaimed that God was his God. All the other times he was praising and he was impressed by Daniel's God. But after that time of the experience in the wilderness, he was praising God for himself. So I don't know where all that went. It was just off of Nebuchadnezzar there. But that I love the book of Daniel. To me, it's so encouraging. And is really where we're going right now, I believe. I'm through.
All right. Well, George, do you mind sharing whatever it is that you're getting out of this?
Well,
Or do you have any comment? Wake up, George.
I'm with you, brother.
Okay.
I'm just more than anything, just realizing that we serve a God that's alive, and He put us together. You know, He says that where two or more are assembled, He's with us. And that this Bible study, you know, we need to pay some attention to the backgrounds and to each other's faces. And if we, you know, an EMP takes out the grid or internet goes down, you know, we should expect to fellowship, to translate, to see each other, just like we walk over to the neighbors to get a cup of sugar. If the Lord is pleased with us, you know, He's pleased with faith. You know, without faith, it's impossible to please God, but with faith, it is possible to please God. And if He's pleased with me saying, I want to go sit in Pat's living room and see what's on that cork board behind him, or I want to go pet the dog out in Andrew's neighbor's yard, then, you know, I can just imagine, you know, we're sitting here with each other and we're pretty casual and relaxed and enjoying each other. But if we actually, who don't get to fellowship with people as often, could sit on each other's couch and sit here and open the Bible together, our head would come off our shoulders. We'd be so excited. We'd be just pouring everything we've got into each other if we could be closer and have fellowship. You know, this is one of those types of bodies that it is hard to find like-minded believers. And, you know, I'm raising a small army in my house. You know, they're going to be 21 years old should the tribulation start tomorrow. They'll be 7 years. You know, I'm just thinking about the man-child, the bride, the bodies of believers that, you know, we're pouring the word into them. We're showing them what to avoid. And then as time allows and the Lord quickens His plans, that, you know, that there's only good things to come. But like I said, I'm expecting better fellowship, supernatural, everything. And I'm expanding my imagination, I guess is what I'm saying. It might not have a whole lot to do with what you guys were talking about, but I can't get away from it. I just keep thinking that this is a very special group, and we've disciplined. You know, the Bible says that He's given us a spirit of power and love and discipline, you know, a disciplined mind, a sound mind. And I believe that these studies have helped us to knock away the flesh so that we can have a disciplined mind to believe what God wants us to believe and shuck off what the world and the false apostate church tries to put on us and wade through all the traditions of men and things like that. We're sitting a little bit above the manure pile. We're way up above it where we don't have to smell it. And I'm pretty happy about that. And, you know, we're on that mountain that can't be touched, where the beasts, you know, they don't come that high up on the mountain. We're Mount Zion, you know, it's where we dwell. So, you know, the world can be what it wants to be, and we might go and work in it and have to deal with it. But we really live, you know, we're seated in heavenly places, and even on this earth, where our feet touch, you know, we're still communing with a living God, and it's pretty awesome. We carry that presence with us, and the encouragement we get here, You know, sometimes it seems like a long stretch before we get back together, and that 2 hours flies by. But, you know, everything we go through, whether it's good or bad, you know, we're right here with each other. And I think God's knitting that, you know, when he in communion, when he says, eat my flesh, I think we're taking on each other's, you know, we're having to deal with each other's flesh, and we're getting through it. We're getting to the good stuff, because everybody's got a past, a history, but it's the future that matters the most. And we just encourage each other to reach out for what God's got. And, I, you know, you shouldn't have asked me to speak up, brother.
Hey, listen, I'm glad you did, because you put a bug in my ear about why can't we just carry on even during an EMP with fellowship right here. You know, all it takes is faith. That's all it takes is faith, and God will do it. And I like the idea about visiting people, but I'd like to visit people like Julie over in San Diego in Southern California, where it's nice and warm. And then I'd like to go visit Joe out there where he's got 90 and 95 degree weather now. And, you know, and things like that. Or people could come visit me when we got pretty days. People like Joe DeBrowsey, he could come down, get out of that tundra up there. Andrew could come down here, get out of the tundra from up there. Glory to God. I don't blame you. I'd come down too. But, yeah, that's, man, I like that idea. Has anybody got any faith to believe that we can have fellowship anytime we want to during an EMP? Go ahead, Pat.
You know, I exactly what George was saying. The Lord showed me that translation is simply, I won't say simply, but maybe it is simply. Because we are aware of where we are at now. We're aware of it. And what is it different? What is the problem that God should remove our awareness from here and place my awareness with you? It's not a big deal for him. It's simply something that would happen in the spirit. My awareness now is in a different location. It's a different, it would be with you, Michael. Now my awareness would be there. So
okay.
I was just a little bitty tidbit that it was, it allowed me to see that that is not that big of a deal for the Lord, because as we are aware, he is able to make us aware or unaware anytime he wants. So anyway, little tidbit.
Wouldn't it be great if we all had a dream and we were all in it together?
Yeah.
And converse with each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. That might happen anyway. I like the way we can translate. Boy, that'd be cool. But listen, if I'm translating to your house, you better have some fire on if it's during the wintertime, because, you know, I like warm weather. And there's George up. Look at here. George got that fire. Ooh, he got it round, don't he? Lord of God. Amen. That looks good, George. Me and David got in some wood today ourselves. We filled our box up. Brandy built us a great big old, about a 8-foot box outside of our house where we've got a sliding door. He put it right behind that sliding door, and we could fill that thing up with wood now instead of having, we had it in the closet. We were putting it in the closet. We was killing roaches and all kinds of bugs and things coming off that wood, you know.
Can you see my porch?
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, you can't sit on the porch.
You can't
wreck your glass of iced tea out there on that
porch. That's a perfect spot, brother.
Well, bless your heart. Lord, warm that place up, Paul. Good gracious. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. I like that idea about translating and or just having something like this or whatever, you know. Translate would be better if we all just translated in one place. Just have a meeting. Well, we're going to have them just like that preacher did over in Russia, you know. We're going to have a meeting over at Barry in Maryland's tonight. We'll be there about 7 o'clock. Beam me up, Scotty. I'll be over there directly. Amen. That'd be cool. You know, I believe the Lord's going to do that in a lot of ways. It's going to be a lot of translating going on. People being translated out of trouble, out of harm's way. And he's liable to pick one of y'all to do it, you know. Say, all right, I'm gonna beam you up over there to get Willie out of some trouble there, him and his family. And Willie's going to know about it because the Lord's going to tell him, you be right here at this spot. And Willie's going to be there. And Leon or George or whoever's going to show up and say, come on, Willie, we got to go. Got to go, bub. He'll and all his family, mama and his kids, they'll just come on down. We'll be all down here waiting on him, having a party. Same thing with Andrew and Joe, Britt and Joe DeBrowsey. Yeah, all of them, you know, I believe that's going to happen. I believe it. I believe we're going to see that Marlon and Gano, whoever it is, Tracy. Megan, we'll be bringing Megan over here for a visit. Praise God. Well, we've come to the end of another fellowship. And it's been good. I enjoyed it tonight. I really did. I would ask that everybody pray again next Tuesday for the conference call, if the Lord will. Or we'll have a meeting, let's see, over at Barry in Maryland's next week at 2, at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, somewhere like that time. If we just all show up, you're going to have the tea ready. Have the iced tea ready, Maryland. Amen. But Lord, we just thank you for a great fellowship again. Thank you for allowing us to be together, Lord, and place a love in our hearts for each other. And Father, it's been such a good road that we've had here these last few months. It's awesome being on this conference call. I can tell the love that has been placed in everybody's heart for each other. And I know, Lord, that we've all been praying for each other and keeping them in our minds and in our prayers. And Father, I thank you for just bringing us closer, Lord. That dream that Kurt had, knitting our hearts together with that thread of gold and pulling tight on it to where we're all coming in close together. Father, I thank you for that. And Kurt's down there looking down on us too, giving us encouragement, him and Holly both. And Father, I just praise you and I glorify you and I thank you, Lord, for being with us until we all meet again, whether it be in glory, whether it be here or whether it be in their house, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for protecting us, providing for us, and giving us all some good supernatural sleep, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, y'all. And it's been an awesome time tonight.